The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and the scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Cassidy, do you want to do anything right now? No? We had a pact. It's okay. We were trying to have fun in worship, weren't we? Well, anyway, in our Gospels, we usually say tax collectors, don't we? That is, I think, a phrase that we hear time and time again, tax collector. But theologians have known for a long time that we should be translating them as toll collectors. You see, during this time, they had direct taxes like we do, like a land tax, and they would be employed by the Romans to collect such taxes. But they also had toll collectors. Now, toll collectors paid in advance the right to collect tolls from other communities, right? Interesting way of doing things. And since you paid for that right up front, there was great abuse, because you could pay for 5 and then ask everybody for what, 7? But what made this even more difficult was the fact that these toll collectors were often not members of the communities. So often people would be enraged, right? They'd be full of anger. Well, there's just something about those people who are outside of the community, right? Those people. A couple weeks ago, I had some stuff delivered to our house. And on that day, I was wearing my North Dakota State Bison sweatshirt. The delivery rep mentioned a reference that I obviously was not from Laramie. "You're not from around here, are you?" Said just like that. And the driver asked my friend who is standing right next to me where he was from, and he said what? "Born and raised in Laramie." And the driver took off his glove and shook his hand with pride. This happened. I'm not kidding. And my North Dakota State hand stayed empty. But after they talked a bit, I told him, I said, "Well, my wife was born in Wyoming, in Douglas. Does that get me anything?" He didn't think that was very funny. You see, it seems to me that human beings, we become a bit territorial, don't you think? And we have trust issues with those people who are outside of our communities. Those people. And this phenomenon is played out in our scriptures all the time. This outsider, and I know I talked about it last week as well, but Jesus loved the outsider. Jesus hung out with the outsider. And we struggle with this in Lutheranism today, don't you think? I mean, Lutheranism is one of the whitest churches in America, and I'm not saying this as a badge of honor. That mostly Lutheranism has been a denomination that only reached out to those with that Northern European descent ancestry, right? And we've made some movement as a larger church. But again, how many of us as God's people are interested or have something that we're doing outside for the sake of the outsider? You know, so as people who grew up in the church, we look at these lessons that Jesus has given us, and so often it falls on deaf ears, doesn't it? Because it's not easy to live out. But when we look at the life of Jesus this morning, and if we take the life of Jesus seriously this morning, he spent more time with those in the community who were scorned at, pushed away, and cast aside than Jesus did with the mainline, run-of-the-mill kind of people. It's all over our Gospels. Jesus didn't hang out with those who had the power, those who were the ones who were in authority. Jesus hung out with the outcast. And who did Jesus have supper with in our gospel lesson? Toll collectors. It says in our gospel that Levi gave a great banquet for Jesus, and there was a large crowd of toll or tax collectors. And Jesus was having supper with a crowd that people hated. And not just a couple. It says a large crowd. You see, tax collectors weren't necessarily the most compassionate people. There's a reason people didn't like them. But when Levi met Jesus, Jesus did something to the compass of his heart. Jesus did something to his heart. I mean, Levi became generous, right? If you're a toll collector, if you're a tax collector, right, you're going to be stingy with your money. And Levi offered up a huge banquet and invited all his toll collector friends to come to this banquet to hear this guy named Jesus. And after that meal, Levi's life was no longer about tolls. It was about Jesus. I mean, Jesus gave Levi the gift of his time. Jesus gave Levi the gift of his time. Jesus sat and ate with this outsider, this tax collector, and Jesus looked at Levi and then asked him to follow. And because of that grace, because of that love, because of that friendship, Levi followed. And I truly wonder if this is why Jesus was crucified. I wonder if this is why we crucified Jesus, because he was loud, he had a following, he hung out with what society called the wrong people. He gave the wrong people, the outcast, a voice. And people in power don't like that. Well, if you look at the Greek this morning in verse 30, it says that the Pharisees were complaining a bit. And it's not just complaining. If you look at the Greek, it's deep grumbling. I mean, they were disgusted. They were alarmed. They were not happy. Why? Because Jesus was claiming them as worthy. As worthy. You see, the interesting thing that is often not seen in this lesson is that Jesus sat with the tax collectors, which made them worthy without even asking them to repent. Did you notice that? That Jesus sat with the tax collectors without asking them to repent, the other to repent. You see, the Pharisees during this day, they would love Jesus if Jesus came into this crowd of toll collectors and tax collectors and asked them to repent. The Pharisees would have loved that. Because make your relationship right with God. Repent now. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, Jesus embraced them and sat with them around the table. That's why they were upset. And this image continues to be a cornerstone of Jesus' ministry. And 2,000 years later, the image of this Jesus sitting with outcasts continues to be a scandal. Because Jesus sat with outcasts. Because Jesus is looking after those who we cast aside. Well, I want to talk about confession, so I have a confession. Sometimes I have a hard time opening up worship with repentance first. Why, you say? Because it's our action. It's something that we are doing. And if we look at our scripture, Jesus always embraces the sinner without needing to ask for repentance first. I mean, do you ever see Jesus coming up to somebody, a woman at the well, or the tax collector, and asking for repentance first? No, you won't find it. I mean, Jesus loves to sit with people. Jesus loves to listen to their story, to learn about their life, to learn about their pain. And what does Jesus do after that? Then Jesus invites them into new life. Into new life. So forgive me this morning if our liturgy does the opposite. You see, I know why we do repentance at the beginning of our service. We want to have a right and holy relationship with our God. But what a different image it is to picture Jesus and talking with us first. Getting to know us, first. Well, it's always interesting to look at the scripture before and after a certain text. And if you look at the Greek this morning, you'll see a word that appears only three verses apart. The verb in our calling story of Levi in verse 28, if you want to get out your hymnal or your bulletin. Or if you have a Bible or if you have the Bible on your phone, look up verse 25. So verses 25 and 28 this morning. It's the same verb, to get up. To get up. And you see in this Levi calling story, right? Jesus says, follow me. And we are told that Levi got up and he followed. But if you read the three verses just before this text, it's a whole different story. It's the healing of the paralytic. And what does Jesus do to the paralyzed man? The paralyzed man got up. He rose. Now, when this lesson was written, when it was written in the Greek, if you knew your Greek, and as you're reading through these stories, you would make a quick connection between the healing of the paralytic and this story, this calling story of Levi. You would see those two verbs closer together, and you would look at these two stories that we have as one story. They're bridged, they're together. And you see, the author is suggesting that Jesus awakened Levi, that somehow Levi was paralyzed in his life of faith, and Jesus helped him to rise up. The stories are connected. And what happened after Levi followed Jesus? Levi became a disciple. Levi became a disciple of Jesus and shared that word, that same word of compassion, that same word of grace and redemption. I mean, so think with me this morning how our God has risen up. Think about the times in your life where God has invited you to rise up. Think about the times as a congregation God has asked you and helped you rise up. Those are beautiful moments of calling where Jesus invites us into something different, that Jesus sits with us in communion and in baptism and worship each Sunday. And Jesus invites us to rise up, to give us a new life. I remember this morning that Jesus' ministry was with the outcast. So that means, as disciples this morning, our ministry is to who? The outcast. The outcast. That's who Jesus sat with. That's who Jesus ministered to. The outcast, time and time again. And the church that God created, we are the ones that have said we will follow. Right? We had confirmation just a couple Sundays ago, and we had these two young people standing up here, and they said the words of the Apostles' Creed, and they said, we believe. They said, we will follow. That we are the ones, the disciples now who followed Christ. We said that we will follow. And together we serve the outcast. So people of God at Trinity, it's time to rise up. Jesus said, follow me. And I wonder where we will be going. Amen.